My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Granny's Grades? Want to do some Granny's Grades? This is, ladies and gentlemen, where we take a look back at the most recent 49er game. We go position group by position group, and Mark Grandy hands them out.
All right, let's get to it. 49ers fell to the Vikings. Week 2, 23-17 was the final score. Let's start with my first of seven different groups. We'll go quarterback, skill positions, which is running back, wide receivers, tight ends, offensive line, the front seven, which is the down linemen and the linebackers, secondary, special teams, and coaching. We'll begin, as always, with the quarterback. This might be a big one. I don't know. I might get a lot of people disagreeing with me. I wasn't that harsh on Brock. Gave him a C-plus for his performance on Sunday against the Vikings. What do you think?
C plus is, I think that's in the range. I think that a straight C would have been maybe more appropriate. I think, and Mark and I talked about it, he did make some big time throws.
Yep.
More red zone inefficiency, two big turnovers, so it certainly wasn't an A or a B. I don't want to quibble with C plus or C. C minus feels a little too harsh, but I think C plus is in the range.
Yep, C plus is actually exactly where my mind went yesterday. Yours went C, mine went C plus. I'll agree with it. I'll agree with it completely. Like, you've got a couple of very, very damaging mistakes in there. You also have, as you said, you have some dot throws, some big plays. You have over 300 yards passing. You had your first touchdown pass of the year. Not all bad for Brock. C plus feels about right.
Yeah.
I also think part of the reason why I wasn't a little more harsh was when you're under pressure as much as Brock was, mm-hmm. and what you're talking about with lack of separation from your receivers that you're throwing to, so much of what hindered the offense, maybe you blame it on Brock, but he wasn't really helped out by anyone around him either.
I agree. Like, again, to me, the trenches of the football, we'll get to those greats. The trenches of the football game were
right.
Not in the Niners' favor for the most part.
Yeah. All right, up next, skill position. So this is running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends. Same grade as quarterback. They gave him a C+.
What was the thinking?
Jordan Mason was the buoy okay. that kept them up. I wasn't particularly impressed by Deebo Samuel, despite his numbers. There were some garbage time yards that he got in there towards the stretch, down the stretch. And again, what we're talking about with the quarterbacks, I didn't think some of this is Ayuk. I thought Kittle was good. There wasn't a lot of help that the skill position players provided Brock Purdy. They could have, you know, maybe got open a little bit more and provided easy access. So a C+, buoyed by Jordan Mason.
What do you think?
I would lean toward B-.
Yeah,
and
me too.
I think that Kyle Juszczyk deserves a lot of credit. He had a couple of great catches, including the toe tapper on the sideline. And I don't want to gloss over Jordan Mason in his second start, going 20 for 100 yards. And he was really the only running threat. And early in the game, outside of that first drive where they didn't run it at all, he was the guy who was moving the chains. I thought that he was terrific again. George Kittle was a matchup problem. And, you know, Ayuk did what he could do with the limited number of targets that he got.
I have a question. Jacob Cowing is a skill position player. However, his mistake happened within the framework of special teams. So does that count?
I guess it's up to each individual's interpretation.
Okay.
That, for me, would go under special teams.
Okay, because I also look at, it's the same argument you and I had last week about where's the demerit. to move them down. Now, I don't think they were deserving of an A, but they also didn't make any huge mistakes. Jordan Mason fumbled, but it was kind of on his way down, and he fell on it, and so no harm there. So that's why I was asking about Cowing, because he also, of course, fumbled that that punt return. But yeah, like, I think you knock it up to a B minus. I'm with you, Dibs, because for the most part, those guys didn't make any major mistakes, even though they didn't perform in a sparkly way either.
Agreed. Yeah. And, you know, I thought that Kittle was terrific, and yeah, Debo, I don't know if it was quite garbage time, because they were only down by two scores, but he did pad his numbers a little bit late with some of that. But Juwan Jennings again with a couple of big catches, including the fourth down. Conley with a grab. Eric Saubert with a couple of catches. I didn't think that the skill guys were the issue, so I give him a B minus.
We are in the midst of Grandy's Grades. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMC FM and HC1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Grandy, back to you.
Up next, the offensive line. This is where it gets uglier, I should say. It hasn't been great so far. Offensive line, I gave them a D+. My thinking was it would be worse, but half of their job was the run game, and the run game worked very well. But the pass blocking, that was pretty bad all game long. So a D+ for the offensive line for me.
How many penalties? Do we have that in front of us?
Ooh, I don't have it off the top of my head.
I got the box score right here. The total penalties for the team, 4 for 30.
Okay.
And I know Trent had one, and I believe the majority of those were offensive line. There was an illegal formation penalty. There was a false start on Trent Williams. Yep. So only 4 penalties, though, accepted against the Niners.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with your D+. I think that it's somewhere in that range. The bottom line is they were outperformed by their counterparts for sure. And Brock Purdy did not have, for the most part, the time that he needed. And when you add in a few penalties, 6 sacks, whether some are on Brock or not, okay, but 6 sacks, offensive line's going to get a bad grade.
It's always tough to parce it out. And I would go C minus.
Yeah, because of Jordan Mason?
No, because of, it's tough with Trent Williams, because you look at his run blocking, it was terrific. Pass blocking was problematic. Left side of the line probably gets a BB minus. Right side of the line and the center, D minus to an F. So when you look at the whole group, you had a couple of guys, like Trent Williams was not terrible. He's not as good as he usually was.
Yep.
The right side of the O-line, Pooney and the center, they had a lot of issues in the game. So the 5-man unit, and you have to do look at it as a unit.
For sure.
C minus. I don't argue with a D plus. They were not great.
Sorry about that. Up next,
Hi, Grandy.
Front 7. This is maybe the most difficult one for me, because you're kind of morphing a couple of position groups together. The defensive line, your down linemen, and your linebackers. Obviously, the star of the game for the Niners was Fred Warner, and he's the reason why this grade is somewhat decent. For the front 7 as a whole, I gave them a B+, our best grade of the day so far, but that is largely because Fred Warner was an A++++, and everyone else was not great.
Fred was a stud. Nick was certainly good enough, but that's 2 players, and you said there are 7 of them, because they're called what? A front 7.
Correct.
And so that means that outside of those 2, I would argue that you got very little from that position group. Those 2 are there, and Fred saved the game from getting out of hand, so I'll grant you that. But B+ feels a little too easy for my liking. I could have wrapped my head around a B, felt more like a B- to me, because you do have guys like Javon Hargrave and Leonard Floyd who just were unable to really make a mark in this football game. You had a whole game to make a mark. You're going up against Sam Darnold. This is a doable thing, and they didn't do it.
Yeah, I would give him a C+, and I think you nailed it with Fred and also Nick Bosa. I would have him in the A category, but other than that, you allowed Ty Chandler, not Tyson Chandler, the former center from Los Angeles, Ty Chandler, 82 yards on 10 carries. So, I mean, you got gashed in the run game. Sam Darnold, you only got to him a few times, and outside of Nick Bosa, Floyd was a no-show. Javon Hargrave continues to struggle. I didn't think that the front seven was as effective, and I put part of it on the coordinator, Nick Sorensen, because you didn't heat up Darnold at all. You blitzed four times. You thought that you could get it done with your base, with your four-man rush, and you didn't. So I give him a C+, the front seven.
Yeah, that's fair. I get your guys' points. Up next is the secondary. This one was strange because the last drive, I think, knocked the secondary down a couple of pegs. They had a bunch of third and long conversions the Vikings did there, and that was without Justin Jefferson on the field. That was disappointing. I ultimately settled on a C- for the secondary because I thought largely, for the most part, they did a pretty decent job. You have the 97-yard touchdown, obviously, one mistake in the first half that was terrible, and that can never happen. And then you had the final drive that I'm talking about otherwise. But Darnold throws for 268, 97 was on one bad play. Jefferson, 133 yards. One play for 97 yards. Other than that one mistake, this was largely a pretty good day for the secondary. I know you can't just forget about one play. I don't think it was as bad as a lot of people do, so I'm settling on a C- for the secondary.
I guess I can work with that. The only rebuttal I would have that would make me feel like it might be a little bit more in the D+ range, I guess here's the thing that's in the favor of the secondary. You said some of it, plus I also think that the 97-yard play to Justin Jefferson is a little bit more on the defensive coaching staff than it is on the players. With that said, what was your assignment? And I would argue that for half the game, the receiving core quarterback combo that you got as a secondary was Sam Darnold, Jalen Naylor, and Trent Sherfield, and a little bit of Brandon Powell.
Yep.
That's the group that you had to guard.
Forget about Johnny Munt.
Who?
Go Ducks.
No Jefferson for half the game. No Jordan Addison at all. No TJ Hawkinson. And last year's backup quarterback throwing the ball? I hold you to a higher standard than that. I'm going to knock him down below what you said.
Below a C-.
Yes.
I was thinking C-, but you're kind of swaying me because I was thinking about the last scoring drive, and I'm just looking at the names, and it was Powell and Munt and Naylor and Munt and Powell, and these are third down conversions.
Munt?
Dude, Munt. You have no answer for Munt. And when you watch, especially the third and eight pass to Naylor that went for 26 yards, there was confusion. And the 97-yard pass play for the touchdown, there was confusion.
Sure.
I thought the secondary looked a little bit slow, a step slow. There was definitely confusion on a lot of it, including that drive. So I was going C-, Granny, but I think it might be a D+.
Damn, you agreed with Willard, huh?
Well, he kind of swayed me because as I'm looking at it...
Thank you.
Well, man. And they didn't have Hawkinson. You didn't have Addison or Madison.
I'm good in debate class now.
And
I can put out a point.
Well,
you don't have to agree with it, but I can put out a point now.
And when I mentioned Munt, and you... Munt?
Munt.
When you got Johnny Munt and you don't have an answer for Johnny Munt, then it goes from a C- to a D+.
Johnny Munt.
Fair enough. All right. Up next is special teams. I know this is where Dibs disagrees with me as well.
Boy.
Obviously, there was the blocked punt.
Yep.
Mitch Wishnowsky just becoming an observer, which was odd. There was the muffed punt by Jacob Cowling. They fell on it. Didn't ultimately hurt them that bad, although the next play, I think, Purdy threw an interception that turned into a touchdown. There was Deebo Samuel bringing the ball out of the end zone and only getting out to like the 15, and then a penalty
then
on
a
top
penalty.
Of it.
Yep.
Not great. All of that considered, it didn't really hurt you a ton. That's why I know Dibs was going for an F. I gave the special teams unit a D+.
It's an F. I think it's an F because the way that the punt was blocked was an absolute giveaway. It was a give up. It was a sieve. You let a guy straight through the B gap, and he had a straight line, and that thing was blocked easily. It wasn't one of these athletic plays where the guy goes around the corner and gets a piece of it. That thing was smothered. And yeah, Mitch Wishnowsky did the staring contest. The muff punt.
That was so bad.
Isaac Yiadom recovered it. He recovered two fumbles on the day, by the way. Yiadom. The kick return was a debacle from Deebo, taking it from 3 yards deep. He had momentum going forward. Those three plays, while not directly leading to points, all of them. Those were disastrous plays. They get an F.
Am I remembering this correctly? The punt block led to the first quarter field goal.
Field goal.
The field goal.
The defense
first
did not allow them anything.
But it led to points.
Yep. Correct.
It led to points. All right. So, and you said D+.
D+.
I'm gonna split the difference with the two of you. I'm gonna go D. And the only reason that I'm gonna say that, I'm gonna agree that D+ is too soft because of all the things you just said, Dibs. The reason I'm not going to give an F is, and again, as a teacher, an F means you didn't do squat. You did nothing. And Jake Moody is perfect on the year. And so I got to give them points for something because they showed up, they did their assignment, they didn't do it well, but therefore you get a D. That's what I would give them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep, Jake Moody, perfect field goals and extra points. Not many, only three kicks in total, but, you know, he was good overall. Okay, last one is the coaching. I gave coaching overall a C+ for this one. I'm probably a little more encouraged just because I saw Kyle Shanahan be aggressive, and I want him to be aggressive, okay. And it's one of my sticking points with Shanahan for years now. The fact that he went for it twice on fourth downs on one drive, I was trying to scour game logs and try to find another time where he's gone for it on fourth down multiple times in a single drive. I couldn't get through every single game, but I hadn't found one. I was so ecstatic he did that. Of course, it failed. The fourth and goal from the two at the end of that long drive. He went for it again later on. Didn't get that one either, but I was encouraged by that. Overall, there were some other mistakes. Defensive coordinator Nick Sorensen and the Justin Jefferson touchdown debacle. All of that, I get it. Overall, I might be a little bit lighter on this because I was just so eager to see Shanahan be aggressive finally, even though it didn't pay off. So C+ for me for coaching.
I C-, and that's generous. And the more I've looked at the film and looked at what went wrong in this game and the fact that they only blitzed four times and, you know, Kyle Shanahan electing to go for it on fourth and two instead of taking the three, the 97-yard debacle on the big touchdown to Justin Jefferson where inexplicably you don't have your best corner guarding their best receiver. You got two safeties deep, neither of whom is really a good deep cover guy. Those coaching mistakes for me are inexcusable.
You said C-?
Yeah.
And Granny, you said C+?
Correct.
It's an A. Kyle Shanahan is the greatest coach who has ever lived. Now, I think I'm going to lean toward you, Dibs, on this one. I don't think it's a D, but I think a C- sounds about right to me. And because I do look at it collectively, the position that the defensive coordinator put their players in a couple of times did not work. I did not like. And then I'll go with a lot of the people who have called us in the 48 hours since and just talk about what feels like an inability to adjust. You know, you were triggered by Brock Purdy going over to Brian Flores and saying, I love your scheme. This is great. This is a pretty cool scheme that you got there. You didn't like that. I'll tell you what I didn't like about it. You knew it was coming and you seemingly couldn't do anything about it. Like, you're the scheme master. You're supposed to be able to out-scheme Brian Flores. And I know that that's complicated because there's execution involved in that. You can, like, have the right scheme, and if your players don't execute, then this is what you get. But it felt like I would love to be able to, if you're supposed to be able to scheme people open, and the Niners are getting open worse than anyone in the entire league, and Brock doesn't have time, and he's holding the ball a little bit too long. These are the things that are all sort of involved in the timing and the scheme of it. And Kyle's got to wear that. Like, it feels like there were things out there that they just couldn't adjust to on the fly. And it bit him. It bit him in the biggest moments. So, yeah, I'll lean toward where you said C-.
Dan, a lot of it for me, coaching-wise, is preparation. And, you mentioned scheme. And I'm not going to get into motivation because I think that these teams are always motivated to go out there and play hard and try to win. But you got a team going out there in a 10 o'clock body clock game on your first road trip. They looked like they didn't have a lot of attention to detail in many ways. And part of coaching, too, special teams. And I know that, you know, it comes down to execution.
Yeah.
But that clearly was a case where the two blockers, Beal and Flanagan Fowles, they were not on the same page. They both went opposite directions on the pass protection, and that's a coaching point.
It has to be because that's the way it works.
Yeah,
but
that's right.
You know what I mean? I'm sure he didn't go like, okay, guys, head out there and make sure you're not on the same page. Ready, break. It's always just funny to me because we like, you're not wrong. Again, as I said earlier, he has the word head in front of coach. And so that's the way it works. Like, you have to be the leader. And when things don't go well, a good leader sticks his chest out there and protects the people behind him as opposed to the other way around. So, yes, that's the way it works. But it's tough in certain games, especially early in the season when we're seeing mistakes from people, and this is maybe not fair, but just as two examples, when you see penalties by Trent Williams, you see sacks on that side of the line, you see Brandon Ayuk have a separation number that is bottom five in the league. When you see all that from players who didn't go to camp, and Kyle's got nothing to do with that, like literally nothing to do with that, you've got the front office, you've got an agent, you've got the player. We know the stories of how that all went down. It's hard, I think, sometimes to take an entire coaching staff and be like, you know, you should have coached them up better. Well, yes, correct. They also need to execute better. So it's not a good coaching grade, but I don't think it was a D or an F.
Yeah, wasn't good. And anytime you lose a football game, it's going to be a knock on the coaching. And when you win a football, and same thing with the quarterback. I mean, if you go out there and you have good numbers, and Brock had mostly good numbers. He did have two turnovers. But if you go out there and you win the game, that automatically gets you, in my opinion, at least a B sort of a grade. Same thing with coaching, because the job is to go out there and win. And when you don't win and you look at certain things where there's attention to detail issues and you weren't really able to adjust. And I won't get too much into the play calling, but I thought that they were a little too pass happy, especially considering how effective Mason was in the game. And I don't think that, I don't know, 20 carries, we talked about it before.
Yeah.
28's too many. 20's not enough. You know, we want 22 to 24 carries exactly.
22 and a half. That's what I want every game.
And I also think that, and this is maybe something going forward into the Ram game, but they need to figure out who else can run the football, because Jordan Mason, he's great. He's forceful. He's running downhill and all the rest of it. But almost every team relies on more than one running back, and right now you've got one running back who can carry the football, and that's it. You gave Garendo one carry, and other than that, you've got Taylor and a Keyshawn Vaughn on the practice squad.
Well, we don't even have Debo anymore. It'll be interesting to see exactly what they do, the activation sensation, if you will, to bring in a running back. You know, you watch the Kansas City Chiefs lose their... They lose their running back, and they immediately got to work. They signed Kareem Hunt to their practice squad today. I know they're signing him to their practice squad, but he's not going to stay there. He might be up by this weekend, for all I know. And, you know, we'll see this guy Carson Steele.
Isn't he the one that got
the alligator or whatever at home? Look it up, Grandy. You're looking at me crazy. Google Carson Steele and alligator or crocodile. He's got like a pet.
All I know about him is he went to UCLA.
Okay.
He's got a pet alligator.
This picture went viral during camp because they're like, the Chiefs have a running back who's got an alligator. And there's a picture of him standing on his doorstep holding an alligator the way you would hold a baby.
Yeah,
apparently his alligator's name is Crocky J, even though he's an alligator and not a crocodile.
I'm out on this guy. He's calling alligators crocodiles?
No, it could be ironic. I mean, it's like people who name their pets like Bob. This is my dog, Bob.
Well, you can name anybody Bob, here's, but the Crocky thing isn't that, like, unless the alligator wears Crocs, the indication is that it's crocodile.
But it's better than saying this is my alligator named Allie or Al.
Why?
This is at least clever, Crocky J.
This is a line from a People magazine article.
I'm looking at it right
the
here.
The running back clarified that Crocky J is an alligator and not a crocodile, but chose the name because he thought it, quote, sounded a little better.
Okay. I mean, name your pet whatever you want to name your pet. You know what I mean?
And what's funny is that Carson Steele and Crocky J, they could be twins. They look very much alike. If Crocky J had long blonde hair, he could be Carson Steele for Halloween.
You need to stop.
No, you look at the picture and you tell me.
I saw the picture. I'm the one who just told you all about it. I saw it.
These two were separated at birth. Carson Steele, born in a swamp.
Anyway, I'm going to try to pick this dude up on some waivers in some league just because he's got a damn alligator. I don't even care how fast he runs, but there's no Pacheco, and the guy's got an alligator. That sounds like something I want on my team and in my life.
There is a Kareem Hunt now, though. I don't know if you heard that.
Man, do you listen to any of the show?
Brandon Ayuk and Debo just put out a podcast.
It's literally how the conversation started. Like, any of the show? Like, even the little bits and snackable pieces?
Brandon Ayuk was asked why he ultimately chose to stay with the 49ers, and it's because the Niners are family. So that's what I've been learning about the last 40
minutes. I'd like us
minutes.
To be more family. Listen to the show.
Hey, Lucas.
There's stuff happening in here.
Debo didn't want to call Brandon Ayuk during the negotiations. He just left him alone. Because I don't know if you know this, he actually went through negotiations pretty recently, too.
Oh, my God.
Did you
God.
Know that Carson Steele has an alligator named Crocky J?
This guy sounds like an idiot. Only a Bruin would do that.
Oh, my God. It just...
Just any of it. Like, just
a piece.
Pick 1 hour and listen to that.
Trent apparently called Debo during his negotiations, and he wouldn't answer the phone. He didn't want to talk to anyone.
YouTube, Odyssey app, there's so many resources. You can hear any of it. Just a little bit of the show.
Debo said 1 to 2 weeks for his injury.
that's what he said on the pod.
Yeah, on the pod.
Okay. I'm glad you're enjoying the podcast. Wherever you get your podcast, which is apparently in the other room. All right.
It's all according to Bleacher Report. Liv Mood's trying her best, by the way. And if you're going to go listen to that podcast, don't. It's really not very good. That's the highlights I just gave you.
Wow.
Perfect.
She pretty much just interviewed those two the whole time.
It must be better than our show because we know which one you're listening to.
There you have
it.
Hey,
I'm out here trying to gather news for you.
I appreciate it, man.
Trying to gather content.
No, you keep doing your job. Your job, and then we'll do ours. All right, anyway.
Kareem Hunt, I don't know if you heard.
Yeah, Kareem Hunt. So Kareem the practice Hunt. Squad, Kansas City Chiefs.
Samaje Perine also there.
Yeah, he's on the team.
He sure is.
He likes to catch passes. Good luck on your waiver wire tonight while you're asleep.
I think Samaje Perine has a cat. It's named Doggy J. Come on, what are we doing?
I don't know. It must be the 5 o'clock hour.
It was
must
a be. Two at best.
Whatever.
Anything will make me laugh right now. I if I don't laugh, I'll cry. So, you know, that's what I'm going to do.
I think the bigger question is, what do the Niners do at backup running back? And
well, that's kind of what we're getting at. The Chiefs got right to work when their running back got hurt. The 49ers not only have a running back hurt, but they have a wide receiver hurt who sometimes moonlights as a running back. And you watched, and then I subsequently watched the current backup running back who's a rookie who was hurt for much of camp, and he got the ball one time, and it didn't look great. Now, does that mean that he's a bust or that he can't run the rock? No, it doesn't mean any of those things, but it may mean that he's not ready. It may mean he's not ready for the bright lights. And when you go to 1-1, and you're looking at multiple weeks without McCaffrey and Debo, it would seem like a good time, I would think, to probably bolster that room. Like, I'm with you. The running back room right now does not feel game day ready.
Right.
Jordan Mason is a twisted ankle away from what are we doing?
Right.
Like, what on earth are we doing?
Well, you're probably going to go to Jacob Cowing. Convert him to a running back and give him the ball?
Running back? He's tiny. Well, and he's not a running back.
Sure. Or the real solution would be to bring in Isaac Garendo and give him the ball. But what we saw from the Week 2 game against Minnesota is that he got a grand total of one snap. He got one carry. And that was all Kyle Shanahan was willing to see. Because if he had seen something better on that one carry, I'd imagine he would have gotten an additional carry or maybe a series.
I don't know. You know, I mean, he's a backup. So it's not like you wanted him to get a bunch of carries. It'd be interesting to know if he only got one carry or if he saw something on that carry that concerned him a little bit. I don't know how honest of an answer you'd get if you asked Kyle that. But yeah, you saw something. I went back, watched it. I saw something. It's also one carry. Like, sometimes you don't see it. We could probably find a bad carry for Jordan Mason, too.
Of course.
You know, so I don't know.
But
I don't
know
if we're there.
Jordan Mason from last year, when he would come in and spell McCaffrey at times, and he would get a series, and it looked pretty good. It looked different. It looked like he was running with some force, and he was hitting the hole quickly, and he looked like a guy who was champing at the bit to get in there and get more touches and more time. And even previous running backs who have been backups, who've come in, they've looked a little bit more assertive than Garendo did. And maybe that was just him still trying to get ready, because he did miss a little bit of time in camp. So maybe week three is different. Hopefully it's different. But short of that, you've got Patrick Taylor, who's yet to play for the Niners, and you've got Keyshawn Vaughn on the practice squad, who's yet to play for the 49ers, and that is the end of the running back list.
That's the end of the list, yeah. So that's a little uncomfortable. It's a little uncomfortable right now, certainly, because offensive weaponry is going to be something we're focused on with Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel out for a little while. So we started our show off today with a little bit of a coaching angle and question, which we will get back to shortly here on Willard and Dibs. But Thomas in San Ramon wants to weigh in. Hi, Thomas. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, boys. I think there's an obvious choice of somebody they could grab to fill the hole, and there's a little known guy by the name of Frank Gore Jr.
Okay, like, we love the name, obviously, but Thomas, what, you know what I mean? What evidence do we have?
He's on the Bills practice squad.
Right.
But he kicked butt at Ole Miss.
Yeah, I mean, when guys kick butt in college and then end up on practice squads, that tells you that coaches around the league are not overwhelmed by what they're seeing, that's all. Like, I get where you're coming from. What's that, Thomas?
Better than most of the zeros the Niners have in reserve. So.
I mean, how do we know that? We've never seen any of them run in the NFL.
You got to put some stock in the lineage, I guess.
Yeah, I hear you, Thomas. I don't know. You know, Jerry Rice has a kid named Jerry Rice Jr., too. He didn't make the league.
Yeah, Tariq Owens was in camp.
Didn't make the league.
We could bring them all in and do a little offspring look.
I mean, it's fun. I get it. It pulls at my heartstrings, too, but, like, I would more lean in the direction of what you just saw the Chiefs do. Like, bring in someone who's a veteran who you know knows your system. Safe, just like, even if it's unspectacular, bring someone in. Like, and I don't know if Breida is the guy, but like someone like that, where you're like, knows the system, been here before, may not be spectacular, but we can do 7 carries a game, we can do 4 carries a game, and if Jordan Mason gets hurt, he can finish the game, and he can get us some first downs. There's got to be somebody out there that fits that description.
Yeah, you would think it would be Matt Breida, but they brought him in for camp, and they got a good long look at him, and then they cut him.
Yep.
So I don't know if Breida is going to be still in shape, or if they just cut him because it was a numbers game. It seems like Breida didn't want to be a practice squad player, and so he wasn't going to make the team, and that's why they made the cut. But here you sit, and you're already down one running back, and it feels like, if you don't have Garendo ready, then you're actually down 2 running backs, and you want to have 3 up on game day if possible. So you're going to have to either decide to give Garendo another look or bring somebody else in and have them be active and play.
So we started off the show today having a conversation about head coaches, and then the word arrogance kind of took over. And this was largely inspired by what we saw yesterday. And Nick Sirianni with the Eagles, who I am not a fan of, and I have never met the man, and I don't cover the Eagles, and so I don't know their inner workings. But I'm always on the hunt within our fan base to learn more about the things that seem to bother some fans about Kyle Shanahan. You heard Kevin Harlan just come on with us last hour, and if you didn't, Odyssey app, YouTube, Kevin Harlan said something in that conversation that I'd like to highlight, because I know it's loss week, and that means it's we hate the coach week, and I get that. And Kevin Harlan, and I will just paraphrase, stated, I speak to people in NFL circles for a living, and I could go city to city, and I don't think I could find one human being who doesn't think that Kyle Shanahan is a top three coach in the NFL. Now, this was an answer that was born out of me asking him to sort of like compare and contrast this with Nick Sirianni.
Yeah.
And his answer about Nick was just kind of like, well, I mean, he was on the hot seat in the offseason, and last night was weird, and Bill Belichick was walking around on the sideline. So that was interesting.
Yeah.
That's his answer. So I look at this Kyle Shanahan arrogance thing that I keep hearing, and I'll acknowledge what you're seeing. I get it. Smartest guy in the room, right? Knows all the play calls, has the family lineage, little bit of a jerk sometimes in a press conference in terms of his tone. I get all that. Isn't Nick Sirianni, isn't that what we're actually talking about? Arrogance. Somebody who, when his players succeed, he wants to make sure that he and his Uncle Dom are on camera and spitting with saliva, walking halfway out on the field, yelling at players, get your bleeping head in the game. This guy who, oh, by the way, results business, right? Am I right? 7 of 9. He's lost.
Mm.
7 of his last 9, yeah. 9 football games.
Including a playoff where they got motorboated.
2-7. 2-7. That's the kind of arrogance that gets me. And I wonder, like we wonder, 888-957-9570, how do you compare and contrast that word and these two coaches?
Well, you think about arrogance and you think about success rate. And for Nick Sirianni right now, having lost 7 of 9, his act is wearing thin. And, you know, Philadelphia fans, and I know we have a call that we can play from Philly Radio this morning that will probably speak to the level of anger that they're feeling toward him and toward this team. And yeah, if you had won 7 of 9, if they'd had the success that Kyle's had of late, all of a sudden Nick Sirianni's act is not so annoying. It actually becomes endearing, and you're probably loving him, and that they fired up Nick Sirianni and the emotion of the coach and they're winning. So I do think that the idea of arrogance goes hand in hand with success. And you know, we took calls yesterday with 49er fans criticizing Kyle Shanahan for not going for two. He botched it. Yep. Should have kicked the field goal early. Didn't change up his game plan. He got your nose in the laminated play sheet and all the other criticisms because they lost. And if they go and they beat McVay, on Monday it'll be, oh, he's got ownership over McVay.
Right.
That Kyle Shanahan, smart little guy, smart as a fox. So a lot of this does go hand in hand with how a team is doing.
Do you want to hear the call on WIP today?
I'm dying to hear it. This is Big Dom.
Now, I don't think Sirianni's the one who took this one on the chin. I think it was Barkley.
Oh.
Saquon Barkley.
Oh, man.
Listen to this.
Okay.
Caller on WIP in Philadelphia today.
We are a 3-win team. You know what? First off, Saquon Barkley, I'm not going to forgive you. You're still a giant. No, he's got to score 5 touchdowns a game to make up for dropping that pass. A little leaguer could do that. And I know I'm wrong, too. Last year, I thought we had bad coaches. No, we have horrible players. And because of such prima donnas who can't practice even tackling because of that collective bargain agreement, we're not going to get better. You know what? The Redskins are going to win this division with 6 wins because they all suck. I'm furious right now. What I saw last night was a disgrace. We deserve better than that. Those guys tackling, Seth will tell you, is effort. And I did not see that last night.
Saquon Barkley has played 2 games as a member of the Philadelphia Eagles. And in the other one, he scored 3 touchdowns.
He's a giant. He's still a giant. He's got to score 5 touchdowns for me to get over that.
No, 5 a game.
Oh, not, 5 a game.
Not 5 touchdowns.
Oh, sorry.
5 per game.
I think that'd be a record.
Prima donnas.
Yeah. If he had 5 a game for the remaining 15, that's 75 plus the 3. 78 touchdowns. I think that's a record, Mark. And it's, there you go. That is a thumbnail sketch of the level of anger for a team that's 1-1. And yeah, Saquon Barkley should have caught the pass. It was thrown right to him.
Right
and he
there.
Turned his head
yep.
before he looked the ball into his hands. But I look at that play, 3rd down. You don't even have to throw it. You run it. And Atlanta's got no timeouts. You run it, you kick the field goal, and you go up 6, or You run it, and like you said, brotherly shove it.
Run it again.
And they brotherly shoved earlier on the drive, and turns out you don't need Jason Kelce to run that play.
Nope.
All you need is Dallas Goedert on your backside giving you the push, push, push.
Although Jason said on the broadcast last night, he's sure happy that he's not doing it anymore because it used to hurt like hell. And I like, doesn't it look like it? Can you imagine just being at the bottom and the epicenter of that every time you do it?
So you've got basically 22 human beings.
Oh, my God.
You're one of them, and you're actually the one leading the way and probably first to the ground.
Yes.
You hike it, you push forward, and you dive to the ground.
You stick your head in there and then allow what I would estimate to be about somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,500 pounds jump on your back.
Yeah, I'd say even more than that, honestly.
Maybe.
You figure if it's 225 times 15, yeah, it's about...
225? What kind of lineman are you watching?
Mike's the average. You got a couple of safeties coming in there.
Dog.
Dude, you're talking about a ton and a half of weight. Smelly, what? Professional athlete weight.
No one
and it's
is,
on you.
That dude's like, I'm podcasting. That's not... I mean, I'm podcasting now. Get my wife. Let's do some commercials. Like, oh my goodness. Hey, look who's on the line. It's one of our faves. It's Philmo Mike. Philmo, cook, do it.
Oh man. I love this topic because it's something about Sirianni I just can't stand. First of all, he reminds me of that player that's like on the team that's talking hella crap, but ain't really like, it's on the bench. It's like, bro, you're not even doing nothing. Like, you feel me? It's like that. And then second of all, they need to replace his face for the Jordan emoji for his face. Because he's a constant Jordan emoji in the face. He always looks like he's crying. Like, I don't get it. And then he always got Big Dom beside him like nobody. Oh, come on, bro. He don't even. And then lastly, when it comes to Kyle is smart, right? And he knows he's smart. And when you're at the level that he's at of NFL football, you have to be the smartest, or you have to think that you're the smartest person in the room, no matter what you're trying to get off. You're trying to give off some Jim Harbaugh vibes. You're trying to give off some, you feel me, Bill Belichick, Kyle Shanahan. He's smart, and the players respect it, and they know he's smart. With Sirianni, they looking at him like, bro, you don't even really know what you're doing for real. So, I'd much rather and so happy that we have Kyle Shanahan as a coach. I know I called him Kyle should have had a championship, but Kyle, I one of the best coaches in the league, seriously. And I would hate having Nick Sirianni as a head coach.
Oh.
Seriously. It would be the worst.
Philmo, you are always welcome here, and I love your take. Thank you very much for the call, man. We love it. We love it when you check in. I just think it's hard for a fan to look at a situation and actually know, like even a play call. Hey, dummy, why'd you call that play? Well, I don't even know if that was the play that he called. He might have called the go route. He might have called a slant. Maybe it wasn't there. Maybe it's I don't know who messed up. But here's one thing I think fans can see. Are you able to keep your group together? You're in charge. It's not just play calls. It's culture. It's chemistry. It's keeping people wanting to go play for you. And Kyle Shanahan, in my estimation, has never had a problem with that. And I don't even know if I've ever heard anyone criticize him for that. I get some of you think he's too smart. Some of you think he passes when he runs. He runs when he should pass. He hasn't learned his lesson. No one has ever called and said, dude, the locker room's a hot mess.
Yeah, and what did we hear about Philly going into the year?
The locker room's a hot mess.
Right.
A.J. Brown screaming at everybody every other game. Jalen Hurts hates the guy. Big Dom getting his name known, thrown out of football games and off the sideline. The whole thing is a circus, and he's
the ringleader.
In charge.
Exactly.
Yes.
And part of it, I think, is that he doesn't have anything else to do during the game because he's not calling plays. That's Kellen Moore. He's not calling the defense, so be the CEO. Be the head coach. Be the leader. But his leadership style is like Philmo Mike was saying, you know, the Jordan emoji. He's out there crying and complaining and stirring things up with Big Dom, and that's just not the way Shanahan goes about it. And you'd have to have somebody who's much more even-keeled. You can't rise and fall with every high and low over the course of a game, and that's what he does.
Dude, he's on the field so much. Was it the Devontae Smith touchdown last night where he... He's just running all up, like he's flying down the sideline, his sweat flying out of his face, screaming, yelling, bumping people. And look, dude, if you're an excitable human being, you're an excitable human being. You know, Guru ran onto the court at a youth basketball game. It happens. But come on.
Oh, no.
You're grandstanding. let Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith be on camera.
Yeah.
They're the ones getting hit out there.
But it's all fine and good when you're winning and if your team is into it, but already you've got things that are falling apart in Philadelphia and you're losing, so the criticism is going to come down on you.
Yeah, no doubt. We're sponsored by Safeway. Glad you're with us. Not done with your calls. Hey, Bobby, stay right where you are. We love it when you call. 888-957-9570 is the number. This is Willard and Dibs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Willard and Dibs.
Mark? Do you have to be a homer on the radio?
Well, Brian, you have no idea.
Well, hold on a second.
On 95.7 The Game.
That's one of my favorite ones, too. It's one of my favorites. Who's our caller that we decided sounds like Brian Baumgartner, also known as Kevin from The Office?
Do you have to be a homer?
And then didn't we have a caller? I feel like we did a side-by-side.
We did.
With
last
one of
week.
Our callers recently, and I'm like, you sound like Kevin from The Office.
It was one of our out-of-town callers, yeah. I believe.
Yeah. But a repeater.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yeah.
That's a great question.
No. That...
It was Dontrell Willis.
It was Dontrell Willis.
Yeah, the D-Train. I was out that day.
And Dibber will forever be mad that happened. And
right, because the train is my guy.
Not
we
anymore.
Go back.
Not anymore.
We got history.
He didn't just say that. Like, listen to the tone. It wasn't just a great question. It was like, damn.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, you can have that one.
That's my guy now.
I think I have the last three on this show. That's I think it. I'm riding a three good question
that is
streak.
Inaccurate because
factual.
No,
that's
that,
a really good question, dude.
No. that was not that long ago. Anyway, let's go to Bobby in Los Altos and say hi to Bobby. He's one of our favorites too. Hi, Bobby. What are you doing?
Hey guys, thanks for the love. I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, thanks for calling.
I wish I could prop bet before the season started that the term J.P. Mason load management would be a top priority of the team. I think that would have paid out 100-1.
At least.
But in terms of Kyle, look, I've never thought he was arrogant. You know, when he started his career with the Niners, he was at 6-10, 4-12, something like that, back in year one and year two. I used to always call in and say, you know, the record's not great, but he never seems to lose a team. They still give the effort. The effort's there. You never feel like the team gave up. So I don't think he's arrogant. If he was arrogant, I think he would lose the team. Now, here's my problem. He does know how to lose a game when he is winning. But unfortunately, here's the biggest problem in my mind. He does not know how to win when he's losing. He does not know how to win when the team is down in the fourth quarter. As you guys know, there's an incredibly damning stat that he just broke last year in the playoffs against Green Bay. He was 0-30, statistically impossible, when he was trailing in the fourth quarter by 7 or more points. He just doesn't know how to win when he's losing.
But Bobby, do those two playoff games not do anything for that?
Look, he broke the seal against Green Bay. I mean, the immaculate reception against Detroit was incredible. I don't think it actually fit the stat, but yes, he finally broke the seal, and wow. Maybe if he's like Phil Mickelson, he wins the first major, and now he can win 5 or 6. But 0-30, he just – I want us to play Carolina every year, every week, and I want us to be down 0-20 in the fourth quarter and just watch us come back so that we can say we know how to win when we're trailing in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, if Bryce Young was the quarterback, they'd win every single one of those football games if they were down 20-0 going into the fourth quarter.
They wouldn't be down 20-0.
I also don't know if he's going to quarterback any more games in the NFL, as a starter at least. Bobby, I hear you. We've all been over this. Thanks so much, Bobby. We've all been over the whole Kyle Shanahan thing about trailing in the fourth quarter, and I'm not going to say that two playoff games last year erases that. I'm also not going to, and never have, bought into stuff like that. I feel like that stat, in some ways, very similar. Do you remember when Barry Bonds could not hit in the postseason?
Yeah.
Choker. Terrible, 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 terrible.
It just was the reality of him in the postseason.
Right. And then what happened in 2002?
I think he hit 6 home runs in the playoffs.
He homered every single
time
that he came to the plate in 400 at-bats. Anyway, I'm exaggerating. The point is this. The point is like, those things, when you small sample size stuff, and I actually do think, you know, in the fourth quarter when you're trailing, what happens most of the time?
You got to throw it.
You lose.
Right.
You lose. I will agree with you that Kyle's identity is not built to come from behind in the fourth quarter. Like, remember Kurt Warner came on with us last year? I thought this was one of the most fascinating interviews we ever did.
Yeah.
And you can poke holes in this. I'll agree with you, but he stated, he's like, literally part of the game plan, the process of a Kyle Shanahan system is to get the lead. And that may sound stupid because it's like everybody wants the lead. But it is baked into the way that he has built this. And it doesn't mean you're up 3-0 every time. It means, like, the idea is he wants that swing from the second quarter to the third quarter where you end with the ball and get the ball again. And when you're done with that, have a lead and then kick him in the face and grind it out. That's not usually going to work. But I don't know if we can go that far as to say Kyle doesn't know how to win games in the fourth quarter when Kyle, factually now, wins most of his games.
Right.
Like, has won so many more than he's lost in the last 5 years.
But if you go through all those wins over the last 5 years, and maybe I'll do that tonight after we put the baby down. And I'll just go through and see how many of those games they trailed. When did they trail in these games? Like third quarter and they won the game. We know that fourth quarter by 7 or more, they don't come back from it. But were there games where they're down by 7 late third and they score to tie it and then they win the game?
No.
The anatomy of a Kyle Shanahan win is exactly what you're talking about. You get the lead, you run the ball, you keep the lead, you don't turn it over, your defense is revved up, you win the time of possession battle, you win the game. And the way they run their offense, they don't do a lot of 3 wide receiver sets. Very rarely do they go 4 wides.
Yeah.
The roster is not built to come from behind because you don't have that many guys on your team.
Down by halftime in L.A. last year, week 2. Is that correct?
That sounds about right.
You guys remember that one? And then how about the game in L.A. to go to the playoffs with Jimmy Garoppolo? That was come from behind.
Right, but I don't think you were down by 7 or more.
No, but I mean, look, you weren't down by 7 or more, I don't think, in the fourth quarter against Green Bay. The winning touchdown was, you were down by 4. You went and got a touchdown.
Yeah, you were down by 7. Oh, no, you led against the Rams last year when you beat them 30-23.
I said at halftime. What was it at halftime?
Tied at the half at 17.
Okay, and the Rams didn't go ahead in the third quarter?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. The Rams were up 17-10, and on the last play of the half,
They tied it.
Brock Purdy scored.
They tied it on the last play. That's right.
Okay.
I don't know, man. I just think, like, put it this way. I know how it's going to sound to a lot of people. Here we are caping up for Shanahan again.
Yeah.
I'll buy.
Do you have to be a homer?
Well, no, but I'm going to split the baby, as Dibs would say here. I'm going to split the difference. Bottom line on this one, this I think is true. So does he have a system that's built to come from behind in the fourth quarter? No, he does not. And if you want to criticize that, that's totally fair. Here's the other thing. It just feels sometimes like we make up stats. Well, when he's down by 7.
Right.
What about when he's down by 6? What about when he's down by 4? What the hell's the difference? You've got the ball. There's 3 minutes to go. You have to score a touchdown. And sometimes they do.
Yeah.
Jimmy did it. Brock has done it. They did it in the playoffs. I'm not hearing that, by the way, you're down by 24-7 at the half against Detroit, and then we're going to make the whole game about the helmet ball? That's not the whole game.
Right.
There was about 5 drives that had to go exactly right and did.
And the thing about the stat, against Green Bay last year, after 3 quarters, you were down 21-14. The first play of the fourth quarter, you kicked a field goal. So, you know, hey, fourth quarter comeback, you were down by 7 or more, even though the very first snap was a 52-yard field goal that cut it to 4.
There you go.
And then you won the game from there. But to your point about the arbitrary nature of that stat, after 3 quarters, you were down by 7 or more. And now if that field goal would have come 7 seconds earlier at the end of the third quarter, then that game wouldn't have qualified as a Shanahan comeback.
Like, I get where people are coming from here. I do. I wish he had more fourth quarter comebacks. I wish that I were more confident in the 49ers when the defense knew that they were going to throw the ball. I wish all of those things, too. Here's another thing I wish. Don't be down in the fourth quarter. Have them be down in the fourth quarter, which is what they have done way more often than not. So it's like, I can't argue with the philosophy of, like, let's see if we can get a lead and then use physicality, use the running game, and be the team with the lowest number of passes in the entire league at the end of the year and go to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
I like that.
And I think
that's good.
That's what he likes.
Yes.
And he wants a 50-50 split. And last year was almost an identical 50% pass, 50% run. And that led you to the Super Bowl. And against Minnesota last Sunday, you threw it more than you ran it. And it was one of the rare times you lost when you won the time of possession battle.
Greg Cosell's coming on tomorrow.
I can't wait. Geek out with Greg Cosell.
Love it. And we got some other potential surprises to throw at you. Grandy, what are you doing in 4 minutes?
We had some heavy hitters on the station today. Baldy was on with Bonte and Shasky. You guys heard a little bit of that if you were listening to the show here today. We'll hear that whole thing. And then a couple guys to choose from with you guys. We're going to go with Kevin Harlan.
Nice, guys.
Okay. That's all brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Do you want to do it again tomorrow?
Did you know that the Chiefs signed Kareem Hunt?
What?
Yeah. I'll do it tomorrow. I'm in. Sorry.
I didn't know that.
Pointing out that I was listening to the show.
For Dibs, for Grandy, and for portions of Lucas when he's listening.
Oh, man.
I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
Whatever, Lucas.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!